He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hey. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for making a way. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Don't see Sister Leach. Ask that you all keep her in your prayers. She's had a service to do at Baptist today. It seems like every time she comes home, I ask her how her day was. And I can report that every day a child is born, but they don't call her for that. And every day somebody dies or is dying, and they do call her for that. That elderly woman who died in that automobile accident, Sister Leach was there as a husband, held her hand until she crossed Jordan. So pray for Sister Leach. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we come now, Lord, to say thank you. We come to praise you because, Lord, you've been good. You've been good not because of, but in spite of. For that we say thank you, Lord. Now, God, bless the furtherance of this service. We thank you for your presence here now. Bless this preaching moment. Lord, let your word go out and not return again void, but let it accomplish that you intend and purpose. Somebody needs to be uplifted. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be inspired. Somebody needs to be challenged. Somebody needs to be convicted. Let your word have its way. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Certainly giving honor to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, our comforting guide. We do give praise, honor, and glory to these my cleric colleagues who join me on the rostrum as well as in the pew. To all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to call your attention to passage of scripture read earlier from the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, beginning at verse number 1. So that you might get the context of the situation in this particular passage, I want to begin reading at verse 1 and read through to verse 12. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they of Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. The word of God for the people of God. What do you do when trouble comes? What do you do when trouble comes? Sisters and brothers, when it comes to trouble, it is never a matter of if, but a matter of when. As it relates to the trouble, it comes to old as well as to young. It comes to the rich as well as the poor. It comes to both believers and non-believers, those who are spiritual and those who are not spiritual, those with great faith, those with little faith, and those with no faith. Trouble comes to all. I once heard a preacher say that people have to be trained to do almost everything. You have to be trained to be a carpenter, a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, a dentist, a repairman. But nobody has to be trained to get in trouble. Of the 43 kings that ruled over Israel and Judah, 23 for Israel and 20 for Judah, only 9 were considered good or righteous kings, and Jehoshaphat was in that number. You don't hear much about him, but his story, his life, and his message is one of the most intriguing and one of the most powerful you can find in the Old as well as the New Testament. Jehoshaphat lived right. He governed according to God's commandments. He was just and fair. And he lived according to the laws of God, but trouble still came his way. If you follow the typical religious reasoning for trouble given in the Old Testament, you usually find them writing that Israel or Judah sinned and God sent trouble their way. But Jehoshaphat was a good, a just, a fair, and a righteous king. So it appears that it doesn't make any sense if you follow the prevailing logic that God always punishes the wicked, God always sanctions the unjust, or God always deals with the hateful and the unmerciful. I believe God would have me to say that it does not matter how good you are in this life, you will have some trouble. You pay your tithes and give your offerings. You attend Sunday school, Bible study, and many other activities, and trouble still comes. You can walk right, you can talk right, you can live right, you can act right, and trouble will still come. You don't have to hurt anybody, wrong anybody, disappoint anybody to get in trouble. Trouble will still come. Jehoshaphat was a good king, and trouble still knocked at his door. What do you do when trouble comes? It's one thing if you have troubles or you face troubles alone. It's a personal thing. It's a personal issue. It's stuff that nobody else knows about but you. But it's another thing to face troubles as a head of a family or as a head of a state or the head of a community or a nation or a ministry or a church. What are you going to do when people are looking to you, depending on you, trusting in you, and waiting on you? They want to know, what's your plan? What's your strategy? What's your solution? What's your answer? And what's the agenda that's going to get us out of trouble? Y'all praying with me? If you get in trouble by yourself, you can take your time, wrestle with it, and figure it out on your own. But it's another thing to face trouble as the head of a state. It's another thing to face trouble as the head of a household. It's another thing to face trouble when you are in charge. By yourself, you can take your time. But when you're in charge, people want to know right then, what are you going to do? You may not be the cause of the trouble or the source of the trouble, but people will be looking to you, depending on you, trusting in you, and expect you to be able to do something about the trouble. Trouble came, and the king did not call his army. Trouble came, and the king did not go to the war room. Trouble came. And he did not call on his allies. I tell you, sisters and brothers, trouble came. And the truth was, King Jehoshaphat did not know what to do. So he called for a national fast. And he went to the temple. He went to the sanctuary. He went to the place of worship. He calls a fast and summons people from villages and from townships all around the nation and led them in a national day of prayer. Unlike his daddy Asa, who called on Syria when trouble came, Jehoshaphat called on the Lord. What do you do when trouble comes? The writer sets the scene. Here they were, king and people, potentate and peasants, royalty and farmers, young and old, wise and foolish, standing at and some standing in the temple looking to God. Perhaps they had remembered what God had said to Solomon, "If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." The scene is set. But before I move on, the writer did not see to put it in here. But there are some folk behind the scene, and I'm sure they had something to say. You hear them, don't you? Didn't we elect him king? And you mean to tell me the best he can do is a fast? Child, we need to get rid of him. If it was me, I'd call on the army a fast. The king must have lost his mind. What's the strategy? A fast and prayer? He done gone crazy. Sisters and brothers, people respond to trouble differently. Some run. They don't wait around to see what God is going to do. Can you see them? Some left town. Some complained. Some criticized the king. And some raised a fuss. But thank God some stayed and prayed. What do you do when trouble comes? This was the king. And he did not run to his army. He ran to the altar. He did not run to his cabinet members. He ran to the Lord. And he did not run to foreign forces. He ran to the captain of the heavenly host. Do I have a witness in here? The king called a fast. They were all there seeking God. And an amazing thing happened. God did not send an army. God did not send archangels like Gabriel, Michael, or Raphael. And God did not send other nations to rally to their aid or their cause. The first thing God sent was a word. Oh, God sent a word. God did not send legions. God sent a word. God did not send the host of heaven. God sent a word. God did not send his wrath. God sent a word. God did not rain down fire and brimstones on the enemy. God sent a word. A rhema word, an anointed word, a sanctified word, a holy word, and a divine word. When you get in trouble, brothers and sisters, all you need is a word. Yeah. Y'all not going to help me in here. If we need anything at all when trouble comes, when problems persist, when difficulties devastate, when heartaches hinder, or when storm clouds rise, it's a word from the Lord. God sent a word that calmed their doubts and helped to soothe their fears. And the word was, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God. This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Ain't God all right? That's a great word. That's a word that says, don't sweat it, I got it. Don't worry about it, I got this. Am I right about it? Because of what the people did, God sent a word. They could have looked to man, but they looked to God. And they found out something. The closer we get to God in our times of trouble, the less fearful we are, the less worry we have, and the less doubt we experience. Because the psalmist was right. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set my feet upon a rock. Ain't God all right? The word came. And they began to worship God. The word came. And they gave him glory. The word came. And they gave him honor. The word came. And they magnified his name. The word came. And they shouted hallelujah. The word came. And they gave God the praise. What do you do when trouble come? And if that, sisters and brothers, were not enough, then God invited him to a front row seat to see his handiwork. And he says, you don't need to fight in this battle, but come on down. You don't need to get involved, just come on down. You don't need to throw a punch, but come on down. You don't need to throw a spear or shoot an arrow, just come on down. And the truth is, you don't need to do anything, just come on down. Sisters and brothers, when God is about to move, you don't have to do anything.
Just watch. When God is about to work a miracle, you don't have to do anything. Just watch. When God is about to give you the victory, you don't have to do anything. Just watch. Because God wants you to know, and He wants me to know, I got this. Ain't He all right? The next morning, it got up and went down to the battlefield with the king leading the way. He was excited about what God was going to do. I don't know why, and the text does not tell us. Nowhere do we find God giving any other orders or any other instructions other than go down to the battle. Maybe the king thought there ought to be a cheering section, a praise team, or a hallelujah chorus. So he pulled together a praise team and put them up front, in front of the army, in front of the priest, in front of the infantry, in front of the marines, in front of the air force, and in front of the navy. He put them right up front. When God is going to fight for you, all you need is a praise team. When God is about to show up, all you need is a hallelujah chorus. When God is about to work a miracle, all you need is some praise dancing. So that put them up front. Am I right about it? Because they believed the word, they did not wait, and they began to praise the Lord. Began to thank Him for what He was about to do. God stepped on the battlefield in the form of confusion and caused their enemies to turn on themselves. Do I have a witness here? And the Moabites and the Ammonites turned on themselves. It was a bloody battle, but they did not raise a hand. It was shocking all, but they sat on the sidelines watching God at work. It was unimaginable carnage, but none of them had a scratch, and all they did was pray to God. Sisters and brothers, when their praises went up, their blessing came down. Ain't God all right? Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat did three things. First, he fasted and prayed. He stopped eating and he started praying. He turned down his plate, called on his God. When trouble comes, we ought to turn down our plate and say, Father, I stretch my hand to you. No other help I know. If I report ourselves unto you, where can I go? Secondly, he looked to God. The king took his eyes off of the stuff around him and looked up to heaven. He looked to God because he knew that his help came from the Lord. He looked to him. Do I have a witness in here? And finally, sisters and brothers, he praised God. Amen. suffering from dementia. And he could not remember the names of any of his 10 children. As they gathered there around the hospital bed, he just could not remember them. They saw him trying, but he couldn't remember their names. But as they were preparing to leave the room, their father said, "Let's pray." They bowed their heads and held each other's hand. They did not know what their father was going to do after they held hands. And as they prepared to offer a prayer, their father said, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Sisters and brothers, he has forgotten all of his children's names, but he remembered the name of Lord. He was unable to call on any of them, but he remembered to call on the Lord. If you don't remember anything I said today, when trouble comes, call on the name.
See the salvation
of the Lord.